CliffCentral.com.
Get on up, I like a sex machine. Get on up,
get up,
get on up.
I love it. That's James Brown with Get On Up. What a genius.
What a tune.
Yeah, such a great song. Good suggestion there, Gordo. Usually you come up with shit ones, but that was a good one.
You say this every time I come up with a bloody great one.
No. I do it on purpose because I know there's only a few things that really get under your skin. Like if someone said your music taste was shit, you'd actually be upset. You get
depends
upset.
Who it is. No. I used to get I used to get really triggered by that when I was like in my 20s. I really don't care now.
Oh, you lie.
I promise you, if some insignificant doesn't like music that I like, that's fine. It's when people who should know, it's when people are like deeply disrespectful towards shit they don't know anything about.
Like Metallica.
Metallica. I've also been that guy, like when I was a teenager, like old people music. Yeah, this is all fucking garbage. And now I'm like, Iron Maiden are really, really cool, and I should have been listening to them for a lot longer.
It's all garbage.
Are you making tea?
I'm making
and
some
like,
tea.
And you've got a whole kit there.
I see you've got a
presentation tray over your shoulder. Can I describe it to the listeners?
Yeah, go for it. You want to see
there's
the
a metal
thing?
Thermos that forms the centerpiece of a deep tray. On that tray is a glass with lemon water, a thing that looks like it's involved in the making of cocktails. There's a special little cuppy thing
that
for putting
little thing
the tea bag.
The cocktail thing is for milk because I don't want to bring up a whole jug of milk. So it's like a shot glass with some milk in it.
I'm packing this back me of Colorado Kush and this cup of Jakob's best instant coffee.
I saw you were in the background rummaging around in your apartment, and
you were
spying
on me in the break, were you?
I was watching you. It looked like you were cleaning up from last night. Something go down?
No, just rolling a blend.
Oh, okay. Well, it looked. I thought it was.
I actually did have a friend over for dinner last night who I haven't seen in bloody ages, and it was so, so, so good to see her. Like, it's so good when you see one of your best friends. It's like this lockdown shit make you really appreciate having one of your besties over for dinner, which is something you've done countless times.
Yeah.
But then you haven't seen them for 6, 8, 9 months, and they come hang, and it's like the best.
That sounds awesome.
So, yeah, I made a bit of dinner. It was very chilled, but no cleaning up. I was just rolling it.
What did you make?
Vegetarian friends, so I did roasted vegetables in a peanut butter sauce with halloumi.
That sounds complicated, dude. That doesn't sound like
easy. It's easy, dude. You just roast veggies, the easiest thing in the world. You chuck a little bit of butter oil on them, your favorite herbs and spices, some rosemary and some allspice. You roast them 10, 15 minutes at a time, and then you stir them around until they're cooked. And then you just put peanut butter in a pan with a bit of oil, some garlic if you want, some ginger if you want. Make it a sauce and chuck it on. It's really, really simple. And it's my go-to for my vegetarian friends because they all love it. And then you just clap some halloumi in a pan with some olive oil or some butter or a mix of both, and you do that until it's lacquer and everyone loves you because they're vegetarians and it's not meat.
That's very impressive, Gord.
I just got one fallback, really good vegetarian chow that my vegetarian friends eat.
I'm glad you cater for vegetarians. It's nice of you.
Well, I've got to find something for when they come visit that I also like.
Yeah,
so then when they visit, it's my sort of excuse to make like an elaborate vegetarian chow.
Yeah, I don't have anything in the – I do not have any arsenal for impressing people with cooking in the first place. But if I had to cater for a lot of people, I'd order in.
Yeah, I mean, it works. I'm not one of those people who's like, how dare he? He didn't like on, I was forced. Have you ever been in a relationship where you end up watching a lot of something that you would never otherwise watch?
No.
Like, I literally watched every episode of Come Dine With Me UK.
No.
Because
I used to just leave it on.
No, it was always on.
I remember when I was varsity, me and a friend of mine, we both had this very similar way of dealing with relationships. Whenever he was with one of his girlfriends, he didn't want to meet her friends. He didn't want to watch what she watched. And I kind of had the same approach. We used to laugh about it because it's you know, relationships are a bit of give and take, right? But I'm not prepared to sit through some shit cooking program just because a girlfriend likes it. And I'm also not.
It wasn't so much,
I don't need to be friends with her friends. That's where you say, you know what, you go out and you have a fun night and I'll stay and I'll watch the shows I want to watch. And then when you're watching your shows, I'll go out with my friends.
Well, to be fair though, like I wasn't forced to watch it. It was just always on. She'd have it on and she's seen every episode and she'd have it on in the background.
But what did she love about it? Because that show is really...
Just the whole thing, seeing how people's lives are, the sort of cringeworthiness, the
come dine with me. That show is more about social interaction than it is about cooking, right? Good.
And how lovely some people are. Most people are just terrible. Yeah.
Sorry, really? I lost you for a second there.
I'm back.
The most interesting thing about that show, which is it's not a boring show because it's not about cooking, really. It's about these
people. Also interesting, though, to see how people cook and how seriously they take it. Some people just immediately try to cheat. And then someone will find out that you, like, store-bought the bread and get, like, totally upset about it, even though it was the best dinner out of everyone. Yeah. And some people get so pissed off that they're not winning. Like, obviously, the other person just went out of their way. Anyway, so it's one of those things. The point was where, as a result of dating someone, I've seen all of it, and I probably would have watched none of it otherwise. So, like, I also know a lot about ballet because of an ex of mine from many, many years ago. So you pick up things like that. It's also working in advertising. You also work on brands you don't care about, and you end up knowing how creepy crawlies work better than you ever wanted to. Like, what knowledge have you? You must have, during your SABC days, dude, gained a lot of knowledge you didn't want. Like, what do you know the most about that you could completely live without knowing anything about? Some shit you learnt in school, varsity, something you had to know for a job.
Everybody's got that. Everyone's got something.
Come dine with me. I'm an encyclopedia of come dine with me, and I really wish I wasn't.
But did you watch because you were just humoring her because you actually found it entertaining?
It was just there, and like, you know, she would tune it out as background stuff, and I kind of get zoned in. You know what I hate? Like in restaurants that are not sport restaurants where they've got like a TV on somewhere that's just playing Supersport Blitz on repeat, because no matter how much I've already seen it 15 times or I don't care about like Dutch paddleball championships, I can't stop but zone into it. I like have to sit with my back to it or ask them to turn it off. Because it's not like it's the big game and that's why everyone's there. I think restaurants that aren't showing sports matches for sports sake should not have sport on the television. I get like sucked into it.
Some of us, Gord, can just so easily tune that out.
It took me so long to learn how to get used to listening to radio music in a working environment. Because to me, it's every bit as abrasive as playing Napalm Death in your office loudly while you're trying to work.
Oh, come on.
I promise you, R&B.
That's a little dramatic.
It's not the sound of a warbly R&B song about money, Jesus, and a mom and sex. The four great topics of R&B.
You've just gone through Mariah Carey's whole catalog.
Yeah, every album is money, 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 sex, sex, sex. I love my mom and a song about Jesus. And that warbly canary sound, it goes straight through my soul. So like,
what's that canary sound?
Where it's you sing and you reach the high pitched thing, and then it's like. And it like hangs on the high note and pierces your brain over and over and over again. Anyway, you learn to block certain shit out. And
I got what I wanted. I just wanted you to reenact that sound. Thank you.
Pleasure.
That come dine with me. You know, we did a family one like 3-4 years ago. Maybe it was even longer. And I came stone last and I really didn't care. Like, I think my dad won it. And there were all kinds of family politics after that, because some people think, you know, some people take cooking to be a reflection of how useful a human being they are. So dad won it. I came stone last. I could care less about coming last.
We had a burger making competition because I've got a couple of friends that are particularly good at cooking. Like I've got three mates in particular that are like out of the gang. They're the oaks that cook.
I like the idea of a burger making competition.
Well, Josh and Clay had both claimed their burgers were vastly superior, and most of the friend group had one or the other or both separately. So we decided we'd have a braai. There'd be about 12 of us. These guys would each make a burger for everyone. Yeah. And, there were a couple of rules. I don't remember what they were, but like it just had to be a standard burger, and there was like genuine bitterness. First of all, it was extremely close. It came down to one vote. Secondly, the votes were anonymous, and then it was like the oak that lost was really upset, and he was like making a case for why it didn't end up being sportsmanlike. Some people take being the best at cooking seriously.
Well, some people don't take losing.
But it was a great way to get two of your mates to make the first and second best burger you've ever had for free.
I love that idea. I think that's what we're going to do going forward, because they were all touting the idea at my sister's birthday the other night of us doing it again. And I don't want to be involved in having to come up with some complicated dish because you know they're all going to try and one-up each other. We're a very competitive family, by and large. Mm. But the idea of burgers, because my dad has always claimed he makes the best burgers in the world, and they are really good. I'll give him that. But he actually makes the patties and everything, right?
So, yeah. I remember Josh put some special cheese in the patty, in the middle of it, so that when you cut it open, and it was like some French cheese. Wow. Melting. It was quite, yeah.
What did you say, Sia?
No, like he actually makes the patties. He doesn't even just buy them. Like he makes.
No, people make patties. It's a mysterious lost art and science. Yeah, you have to take mince and sometimes an egg, and maybe some breadcrumbs and some herbs and spices, and then you patty cake, and then lo and behold, the magic burger fairies cast Jesus into your food, and it turns magically into a patty.
I like a good burger, man. I could eat hamburgers all the time if I knew it wasn't one of the less healthy options. I would probably just eat burgers.
What's your burger of choice? I don't like it I like it with virtually no sauce, and what sauce?
The simpler the better.
I don't like a messy shit show of a burger.
Well,
what's your favorite junk food burger and your favorite restaurant burger?
This is an
takeaway stuff versus.
We're in the danger of sounding like we constructed this as a discussion, but it really has come out of. It's come out of the whole watching TV shows thing, which we were talking about before. We heard
and our sponsor, Fricky's Burgers.
Fricky's Burgers. Let's just mention Fricky's Burgers. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. 100% cat-free since 1987.
So I'm not really partial to McDonald's, but it's okay.
Burger King is superior in every way to McDonald's.
Burger King is superior to McDonald's in terms of their burgers. I would say
and their chips.
I would say I kind of like a Steers burger, but they're too much. There's too much sauce.
Too much sauce. Oh. Can't. It's too much. You cough from eating it.
Yeah.
It's like radioactive.
Sia knows nothing of this world because he doesn't eat meat.
So but there's also a big debate amongst the vegetarian community. Same vegetarian friend that I had last night for dinner. She and I traveled a bit, and like everything has to be vegetarian. There's also the same thing, like. As much as we have our favorite burgers, all those fast food joints have like different vegetarian options, and they all kind of like there's a debate as to which are the best ones. Apparently, McDonald's chicken that tastes like chicken but isn't chicken is a big hit with the vegetarian. But I, of all of the junk food burgers for me, I haven't. Oh, dude, I'm on a diet. Been for 6 weeks. I've lost some weight.
Have you?
I just haven't been. Yeah, I haven't been. I've been chatting with Kapinski about it a little bit. Mm. Just a intermittent fasting basic thing. My buddy Marcus from Herbology got me onto it. And one of our listeners called JP has been messaging me about it for ages. And I just wanted to first try and see if I could do the eating within 8 hours and not for 16 hours. That was very easy. Actually, so easy. And I don't feel hungry and stuff. I don't know how much weight I've lost either because I'm not weighing myself, but definitely quite a lot given the space of time. And now I've tightened it up a little bit and made the, rules of what I eat a little stricter. It's not a very invasive thing, and I'm finding it very easy, and I'm getting some good results. So I haven't made a big deal about it because I don't like to get myself too worked up on the false starts. But I'm about 6 weeks in, and that's been going really nicely. And intermittent fasting, not the extreme stuff. I still think that might be bad for you, but just makes sense to limit the time you do and don't eat to thirds and eat in one of the thirds.
I'm impressed. We often talk about improving ourselves, but it's incremental, dude. It's not, you don't suddenly impose a whole lot of restrictions on your life and have a shit life from then on. You should be able to enjoy yourself.
Well, I see it as this massive lever that's like giant and metal and rusted, and I have to like move it into extreme good behavior mode. And I just want to try find something that's a general framework for living a kind of a better sort of healthier life. So that's my little bit of news on not being a fat bastard.
No,
so I haven't seen Burger King for about 2 months, but I tell you what, when the need strikes, that is my crack. Big King double XL with chips. That is, and they give you mayo sachets, and all of this poison is just sheer bliss.
I looked at a picture of myself from maybe 3 years
ago.
I've
got to let the cat in, so I don't have to shoot her. I'll be back.
All right, good. We don't want to shoot the cat. By the way, Mbulelo says on this matter, because, he's still on the show even.
Let me guess, he'll judge.
Yeah, but he's not being judgy here. He says the problem with too many rules is that you have to stick to them. So he says use small steps and then you'll start to improve. And he really does know, like Ben, the two of them have credibility in this respect. They both are in excellent shape.
Bobinski is looking mean as hell. He was on an 816 intermittent fasting. You see, like intermittent fasting is a little bit misleading because some people that means like don't eat for 2 days, eat for a day, then eat once the next day. You know, it's like sometimes quite an insane schedule, but just like a time period based system. I'm on 7:17 now. Anyway, Barbinski was on 16:8 and training like a madman and got very lean and ripped. And now he's doing 12:12 so that he can get a little bit bigger.
You should see Bulelo because he's big. He's not big. He's lean. He's lean as hell at the moment.
Ripped to the tits.
Yeah. So, I mean, these
Well, I mean, he's outlawed fun from his life, so it makes sense that he's ripped to the tits. No, actually, I'm just kidding. I admire him a lot for all the discipline he does with the things he's into.
The things. All of the things.
Well, the things he's into, he's lank into them.
Lank.
I give him shit for being boring and for being the whitest only person, in the world.
You are the only person I know who still uses the word lank. Yeah.
Yep. Well, he also used the word chummy, so yeah, I mean, a pinch of salt.
Exactly. I looked at a picture of myself from 3 years ago, and I was like, shit, you know, you were actually in really good shape. And you just looked, like I looked in the mirror, and I suddenly, you know when you see that you've aged a little bit?
I do that every day, yeah.
Fuck.
Where did you, like, is it in your face?
No, I really think that we should ban these Facebook and Instagram memories. You know, the ones that pop up and say, this is a picture you posted 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And then I looked at myself and I was like, yeah, I could see that I was younger, visibly younger 3 years
ago. Bullshit. You're going to be like those Rian Kreivagen memes. Have you seen those where it's like Rian Kreivagen in 1972 and then it's like Rian Kreivagen in 2016 and it's the same photo?
Yes.
You've got that Tom Cruise magic. I'm convinced you're actually a Scientologist that's got the least thetans out of everyone.
You're being nice, but you're making me feel better, but it's not true.
You've got low thetans. I'm telling you right now, even if it's not conscious, you've been accidentally sending your thetans to Xenu your whole life.
But Tom Cruise isn't magic. That's just a good doctor.
No, no, God is right. There is an actual religion.
He's got almost no thetans. Can you imagine?
Yeah,
I've still got millions.
He's a 33rd degree thetan master or whatever he is. See, he's like the third most important or the second most important person in Scientology.
So that also means that he can go and get some great work done. Do you remember
day after tomorrow?
I don't want the Scientologist.
He's going to space.
He's going to
shoot in space next year.
Who is?
Yeah, so Tom Cruise.
Cruise is going to space. He not wants to. SpaceX have already scheduled the flight. It's sometime next year. Him, a director, and two astronauts are taking a Crew Dragon up to the space station, filming some scenes and coming back.
Hmm. Would you pay attention to that, Sia?
Nah.
I'd go. Look, somebody has to be the first person to shoot like entertainment content in space. It's like quite a big step in terms of like the practical applications and the view of space. Now, like the mainstream are turning to space as something they want to explore. It's only going to be good for space.
It's funny how the bar is just, or the boundaries rather, just always getting pushed. Like go back, 30, 40 years ago, just being, you know, having a limo in a movie or being in a limo in a music video was a thing. Then everyone had a mansion and that was a thing. And then, you know, now you drink champagne and that's a big thing. Well, the new thing is now, sure, are we going to go to space?
Yeah, I think space is the ultimate look how rich I am statement. Mm-hmm. And certainly for Branson, that's big on his agenda. It's Elon Musk's, obviously.
I think it's important for the future of humanity and for science. Like, I think Elon Musk's doing so many things that are supposed to all just work towards a unified, sustainable future. And part of that is exploring the planets, the asteroids. I mean, the Chinese are already sending a mining robot off to an asteroid. And it's not going to actually mine this first prototype. They're going to test its landing capability. Mm-hmm. And they want to try catch a small, you know, big rock-sized a stray asteroid and bring it back to Earth and start mining them for their rare metals and stuff. It's very exciting.
Great, but let's also be frank. Tom Cruise is just there for
He pumps money into like it's now another it's another financial reason for people to go to space. If they want to shoot movies up there, then it all just adds to the income and the infrastructure. And Oaks must go to space for whatever reasons they want because then more people are going to space. We're going to have a moon base in 2024. We're going to go to Mars. It's going to be the best. I'm so excited. When I say we humanity, I'm going to watch and clap.
Oh,
Yeah, look, good luck to all these people. I'm not in a hurry to get out, to get out of Earth. I like Earth. I'm staying here.
Not me personally, but I want to find out what's out there and let the brave men and women and non-gender descripts of NASA and SpaceX go do it. And I want desperately want to know what they find out. So I also want a Mars rock more badly than anything else in the world.
Hypothetically, if somehow you were in mid, ascension, and
ascension, that's what Jesus when he died, or do you mean like you mean take off
what is it, what's the technical
term? Best
laughing,
yeah, well, while you're best laughing into the atmosphere
while you're on while you're on the way to Mars, right in the middle of space, and there was a chip in the window or something, and a crack were to happen in the rocket or the shuttle,
the
whatever
same
it's called.
Thing would happen as if you were in the middle of the night and a spark happened because of an electrical problem and your couch caught fire while you were sleeping. You'd be in you'd be in the same neighborhood of fucked.
Would you die instantly from a fire breaking out, or would you die from like lack of oxygen?
Depends what happens. I mean, it depends whether your oxygen supply is cut off or you get burnt by fire. But I mean, it is very dangerous, but it's the same time.
Way to
when
die,
you're in
regardless.
A car over 20 kilometers an hour, you're still one mechanical failure away from death that you can't control. Anytime you're in a plane, you're in the same kind of danger. Aeroplane, exactly the same problem. It's just a much longer journey.
You know what I'm interested in, though, and it's something that someone has just raised now. Has Gord considered that humans on Earth after 100 years won't look like humans? Is that still humanity?
Yeah.
Right. What's that mean?
Yeah, the same way we don't look or behave or use technology. Like the first dude to pick up a flint and start making tools and whatever from it, there would have been a part of that community who were like sacrilegious. This changes our ancient ways. We've got to be very careful about it. AI for me is just an extension of it's just humans humaning further into a further human stage. We're making technology and now we're going to put it into ourselves. It's still technology we made for ourselves. As opposed to like an alternate species that we've created to compete with. And I think humans will look very different. But I'm also surprised after this much like, international travel and conquest and colonization and all that shit, that we don't all kind of mostly, we're not just one sort of strong cup of tea colored people who are sort of brown in complexion and are,
there's enough variety.
Yeah, I was surprised that there's still the people are still so insular in terms of what they look like regionally. But I think that will change. Like, I think we'll start seeing.
But I think what Jonathan meant was not Earth, but Mars, because of the different gravity and the different lifespan that people might have, the environments.
Well, ultimately, I think they'll genetically engineer people to be more suited for there, and I'm okay with that as well. But yes, like the idea is that in 50 years, there's a sustainable colony, and until then, they'll be completely reliant on resupplies from Earth.
You think we could do that in 50 years?
That's the plan. That's the idea, is to have a self-sustaining small city on Mars that can survive for long periods without help from Earth. And ultimately, indefinitely without help from Earth. But the idea is that that will take 50 years. And then after 50 more years of living there, who knows where we are with genetic engineering and technology and all that kind of stuff. If the Earth civilization is still intact, then yeah, we could probably genetically engineer people for their bone density to handle the gravity better and to be the right size for the environment and all that kind of stuff.
But will they still be human? Because look at how we still have people who don't understand race. Like they treat people differently because of their race in this country. Imagine how differently they'll treat people who grew up on Mars.
Yeah, but hopefully we won't have like centuries and millennia of bullshit indoctrination and culture and religion and stuff clouding the rationality around.
You think we'll be clever enough to leave these things aside?
I think in 100 years, we can't imagine how different things are going to be. We can't. Science fact is far more exciting, bizarre, and trippy than science fiction, because that's just our best guess based on today. The stuff in Star Trek, what's really going to happen is way cooler.
Well, even here on Earth, we're apparently going to look very different. In 100 years. We're definitely getting taller, right? I mean, there are even rare cases of people. I know someone who's got an extra vertebra.
Yeah.
Right? Then there are people who are born without any wisdom teeth. Obviously.
We have little pinkies.
Yeah, smaller pinkies. Our toes are becoming more and more tiny and unnecessary because we don't use them for gripping anymore. It sounds like I'm broadcasting from Mars. I wonder if this is Lindiwe's. Lindiwe, have you joined us? How's it?
Good morning. Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, and you? I was okay until I met you.
Oh, so are you scared of what we're talking about? How different we'll be in 100 years?
Yes, but thank God I won't be there. So.
I don't think any of us will. Listen,
you don't know. They might release the pill next week that makes you live to 200.
Let me give you a little introduction here. Lindiwe Matlali is a South African who's doing great things. She's the founder and CEO of Africa Teen Geeks, and she's been honored by the Queen, Sia's favorite person on Earth. And now she's also recognized.
Yes, Queen.
Yes, Queen. No, but you mean Her Majesty the Queen in England, right?
Yes.
She's also been recognized for her social innovation by the Schwab Foundation for Social Entrepreneurship in partnership with the World Economic Forum. So tell us what you do that has made you so famous, Lindiwe.
Thank you for having me. I run a non-profit organization, Africa Teen Geeks, and in teaching disadvantaged kids how to code with free classes every Saturday at UNISA nationally for the past almost 7 years now. And 2 years ago, we started working with the Department of Basic Education to develop the coding and robotics curriculum. So we did raise the funding for that to help them with that. So, and it's done. So I'm excited about that.
That's fantastic. Okay. How hard is it for kids to learn to code? Because I hear lots of this. You even see ads where people are like, my little girl's learning coding. But you can see all she's doing is playing games on her iPad. How hard is it to code?
It's actually not for kids, eh? Because, I mean, we have there's programs like, block-based programs like Scratch, even code.org that help kids to start learning the concept of coding through block-based, where they don't actually write the code yet. Mm-hmm. And it's a great for foundation, especially when they're still young. And then we move them from there, then they can start learning a text-based language such as Python, which is easier because it uses normal syntax like, you know, the basic English language. So it gets more complex when they start, you know, learning languages like Java and C sharp.
How old do you have to be to start?
4 years of age, because you can start learning to code before you learn how to read.
Wow.
So, yeah.
This is pretty interesting. Do you think that they're going to be, because now coding is the cool thing. Like a little while ago, people were saying, oh, no, you've got to learn how to fly drones. And then before that, people were saying you need to learn how to computer program and make apps. But coding encompasses some of those things already, right?
Yeah, I mean, basically to make an app, you need to learn how to code because you need to speak the language of the computer.
Right.
So I think it's important, you know, I don't think everybody can actually become a software engineer. But, and I think for us, that's really not my intention either. But when you teach a child how to code, you start teaching them, you know, how to be creative. You're teaching them how to think logically, which are skills they need, you know, when they, if they're going to continue learning math, you know. So, critical thinking, which are really important skills that children should have. So all kids should learn how to think critically.
Yeah, I think this is amazing. How do kids actually get involved? I mean, like, is there a website we can send them to or their parents to? And how does it work from the point of view? You said it's a non-profit organization. So how do you get your funding? I mean, how do you continue to exist? Because it doesn't cost you nothing. It still costs you money.
Yeah, we reach out to companies that support us. And luckily, UNISA has been giving us their labs for free. So the computer labs, we don't pay for that. And it's mainly the funding that we need generally is just for providing lunch and transport for kids in the township. So our overheads are really, really low, you know, because, yeah, so that helps a lot. But our classes are free, so people can reach out to us on our website, africateamgeeks.co.za. We are also on social media, Twitter and Facebook at Africa Teen Geeks.
That's fantastic. All right. Tell me about the Queen, because I know that's the only reason Sia wants to hear from you this morning. He only cares about the Queen. So did you meet the Queen, or did she send you an award, or how does it work?
She actually sent the award. I didn't get to the Queen. So my daughter actually thinks that's the least coolest thing. So she was like... So she was like, I've got no bragging right. Because when I told her, you got an award from a queen, she said, are you going to England? I said, no. She's like, well, then it doesn't.
She said, you have no bragging rights. Like getting something, getting something personally sent to you by the queen equals not like lesser bragging rights. None.
None.
Nothing.
Yeah, zero.
None. Don't even talk about it because I didn't get to meet the queen. So,
oh man. All right. Well, African Teen Geeks sounds really, really cool. Eliminating barriers faced by disadvantaged communities. Because we know in this country, and it's something I care about a lot, is that if we just had more people studying maths and science and engineering and technology, we would be able to create more jobs. Forget about just getting people into more jobs. We'd be able to create a whole industry, and the rest of the world are forging ahead, and South Africa is actually falling behind quite badly. So I really think what you're doing here is tremendous, Lindiwe. Well done.
Thank you so much. By the way, I'm a huge fan.
Oh wow!
Not for you being on Idols, but for starting Cliff Central. Like telling the kids about what they can become. You know,
because
you are in the started a new, you know, a new industry.
Well,
I'd like to get your opinion on things like space travel, going to the moon, going to Mars, and the effect you think they have on people picking up scientific and mathematical computer sort of interests when they're young.
I think for me, that means, you know, space travel is important. I think, you know, if you believe that the world is getting more, you know, overcrowded, you know, if you believe what Elon Musk is saying. But I think to give the kids imagination and even for us as Africa to start really playing a role in developing space, or even the engineers that can build the likes of SpaceX, it's really important that we get kids excited about that and the prospect of that. And, you know, so that we can start inspire innovation, because any child gets crazy about meeting an astronaut, and I feel like we are not developing enough, and we're not even creating enough excitement about it. We're crazy about NASA, yet we are not doing much about creating our own NASA.
They say that the generation that started the whole Silicon Valley movement, the young Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, and all of the computer, Windows, Mac.
Yeah, Hewlett and Packard and all those guys.
The internet age and the Silicon Valley age, those kids were a direct result of being small children when the space program was happening. So 20 years later, they saw a marked increase. On a graph, you can follow space activity and kids taking up scientific interests.
Hmm.
And then 20 years later, they didn't make space stuff, but they made the internet. You know, so that's why doing these bold things is important, because the kid that's super inspired by it might invent something non-space related, but they get into science because of that when they're young. Hmm.
Yes, yes. I mean, I think with the project that we have in the Northern Cape, the SKA project, it's really important, but I feel like we're not talking about it enough. And you find it in programs where kids don't really listen. It will be in the news, but we haven't done enough in, you know, getting those people to go and talk about what they're doing in the SKA, you know, project in, you know, in shows like UTV, for example. So I feel like we are not, even though that project is really innovative in its own, but we're not talking much about it, and we're not using that to inspire our kids to get into STEM. And actually, kids that take up STEM in grade 10, the number is getting lower and lower every year.
Yeah, and a lot of that has to do with confidence to be able to take those subjects, because people are told the whole time how hard those subjects are. But once you crack maths, and particularly, I mean, I've got experience of this, because I remember at school I hated maths. Until halfway through matric, when it suddenly clicked for me, and then suddenly all I wanted to do was solve equations and learn geometric theorems. And I mean, for a good 6 months, I was the most diligent math student in the school by far. But up to then, I'd hated it. And it's all about getting your attitude right around these things. If you teach a kid to code at like 5 or 6 years old, it's going to make a massive difference.
Yeah. Yes, but also most importantly, actually the schools themselves, they discourage kids from taking math.
Yeah.
Because they want to increase the pass rate, and the assumption is that if more kids take that, then they're not going to pass. So even that perception has to change in terms of in, but you're right. If we get the kids to learn how to code and get them excited about math as early as possible, then it doesn't matter what anybody tells them, because they become, you know, you cannot write a code if you don't know, you know, your math, especially when you start writing, I mean, doing Python. Python is a language for data science and AI. So if you start getting the kids to learn that as early as possible, they're not going to be scared of math, and it won't matter what their parents or their teacher tell them. But unfortunately, the schools themselves.
It's a fun way to get them as well to see the practical application, because I think part of the reason that I was never very into science and biology and maths, I mean, I did them, but I never took them seriously, and I saw it as like homework and hard work, was because of how the work is presented. So if you from an early age can see the practical purposes and manifestation of math doing something in front of you, it becomes a lot more meaningful than just these are the rules for solving these numbers and letters. It's the same with science. Like, I absolutely love science now, and I'm a lay person. I'm not a qualified scientist, but definitely a science enthusiast. And that started in my late 20s as a result of discovering history and science books that were fun to read. So if you know about science, lots of people do, but if you can present that information in a way that's entertaining for kids or adults, you really change their whole approach. I wish I'd seen science the way I do now when I was a kid. I probably would have gone into a STEM field.
Yeah, but also what is interesting, what I found is that also the kids that are good at storytelling become very good coders as well. Because writing a story, because it's about creativity, and writing a story, you need to think logically. So those are the skills that you learn as you code. And if you already have that critical, that creative inclination, you get to do well in coding as well. There's also that misperception that you have to be a math whiz for you to be really good at writing code. And it's not true. So, I've seen it, like kids that are really good at telling stories really become very good at coding also.
Because it's like consequential. It's an if then logic sequence. I mean, I'm no coder, but yes. I've seen enough of this stuff to know that it's very cool and infinitely limitless once you know what you're doing.
Exactly. Well, and hope they can do some animated stories as well.
Yeah, well, then now you're talking God's language. Lindy, it's really good to chat to you, and thank you for the work that you're doing. Keep working at it. Let's try and get as many young South Africans, particularly from communities where they don't have access to computers and they maybe don't get the kind of environmental factors that you need to learn science, maths, and to take an interest in these things. Because we know we've got plenty of curious and brilliant kids, and maybe they just don't have the resources. So the work you're doing is really important, and thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
What a pleasure. Lindiwe Matlali, everybody. And that's great. Isn't that great? Thanks, Africa Teen Geeks. Awesome.
Thanks, bye.
Yeah. I'm into this, man. I love this stuff.
Yeah. And I found that like it was part of a Neil deGrasse Tyson book that I read where he showed a graph and you see the uptake of STEM. So that's what science, technology, something, engineering and mathematics subjects.
Yeah.
You see it like kids taking up those subjects and getting involved in those kind of fields sort of in the primary school and what do they call it in America? You've kind of got primary school, junior high, kids taking up scientific subjects and interests and extramurals increases directly according to the amount of space activity. So if they put a person on Mars, regardless of which country they represent, what color or gender they are, kids around the world are going to be like, I'm going to do some science shit with my life. Those are going to Mars. We didn't do anything with the moon for what's it now, getting close to 60, 70 years?
Mm-hmm.
60 years?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
And kids stopped wanting to be scientists. And so, you know, we don't have the next generation that will make the next internet being inspired now by the astronauts.
Well, that's why when people say to me they want to get into music or television, I just cry a little bit inside.
But then using that same idea of what people are inspired by or where they get their ideas from. You understand that we are now in an age of this music generation or this fame generation. So you grow up looking at that as the dream.
Yeah, people want to be Kim Kardashian rather than Albert Einstein. And
you know, but we always sad. Have these, I hate, you know, we're talking about all the advertising cliches and stuff earlier. I hate stupid like self-help cliches like like, you know, what's your moonshot? Overshoot the moon and hit the stars, that kind of thing. But like, you know, I realized the book company that I'm working on, you don't need to approach it like releasing a CD in the 90s where you won a bazillion. And if it does well, you'll sell millions and millions of this book and become like very wealthy. Otherwise, you'll just achieve nothing. You need to sell 1,000 of each book. And if you make 10, 20 books and you have them on sale forever, you've got some sort of asset you can resell. And that's another thing that seems very logical and obvious. But I think a lot of people don't realize that they sell their time. Mm-hmm. And no matter how busy you are in that time, you finish one massive ad project and your employers that like immediate, not only the same day put you on the next one, you're 3 days late to start the next one. So you start the next one late and you just keep doing that over and over. And I think that's where we need like job stuff that's more goal orientated. Like I'm not just trying to finish tasks and get paid. We're trying to go and do something. And I think big ambitious stuff like going to Mars will make people realize they can start their own little businesses or that their cool entrepreneurial idea is not so stupid.
Look at you, inspiring Gord.
Look at you. It's amazing. Hey,
I just want us to go to bloody Mars.
A few messages that have come in this morning. Joe Jackson in Doyando. Oh. It's not Joseph Jackson, Michael Jackson's father. That's a different one.
I was about to say,
I was about to say. Yeah. Wow.
He says, after Gareth told us about Norseman, I binged the whole series. It was too lit. Great.
Then, that's great. So funny.
I love giving people recommendations they love.
Everybody thinks it's like a direct send up of Vikings or that it's another serious Viking show like Vikings. It's sort of Vikings like, but comedy. It's its own thing and it's cuck funny.
Kucho says, I just watched the highlights of the presidential debate. I still can't believe you support that idiot of a president, Gareth. Like how? Morning, all. Go and watch Gordon, Gino, and Fred Road Trip. It's like the Top Gear of food. Regards, Hein.
Gordon, okay. Gino, and Fred.
It's Gordon Ramsay. Gino is a popular chef in the UK as well. Mm-hmm. He's a contributor on like their morning show called This Morning. And then Fred is also a chef in his own right. Yeah, I've seen a bit of it. It is funny.
Is it Matt Gordon Ramsay or Dick Gordon Ramsay? Because I don't like Dick Gordon Ramsay. I just want to shout at him and say, stop being such a dick. The person's trying their best.
No, it's funny. Funny Gordon Ramsay. And you can tell that it's also well-produced because they plant certain things in their journey while they're traveling.
Obviously, they're looking at different places and learning about the food they eat. I mean, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
It's got a sort of travel aspect to it, obviously.
Candace says, you cannot beat a Steers burger, Gareth and Gord.
You can't find it. It's a soup. You need to eat it with a straw.
When I lived abroad, I dreamt of that shit for months, says Candace.
Oh.
Yeah, but I mean, if they can let you apply your own sauce to it so you don't drown or suffocate, then, yeah, they are nice, but they're just... They just made it a third as much sauce as they use, and I'd be back in.
Neil says, boys, Rocamamas Chili Cheese Bomb is by far the best go-to-sit-down burger.
Yeah. Rocamamas is in a weird kind of interim place where they're like better than a garbage junk food burger in terms of quality, but not quite like a gourmet restaurant-y experience for me. Mm-hmm. But I do the one where you just have two patties and three cheeses, nothing else, no sauce, nothing.
I don't want cheese in there. I don't think
cheese is glorious on a burger.
All right, Robin says lank is right up there with kif. It's my favorite word.
Yeah, lank is lank kif, let's face it. All right. I dig kif lank also.
Here's a cheap fat joke from Carl. He says, if there was a chip in the window, Gord would eat it.
You'll notice there's no chip in the window because I did eat it, bitch.
Drops mic.
Yeah, drops mic.
Sina says, morning team, shout out to Gord. I woke up to hear your voice, you sexy beast, Gord.
This is the one that flirts with me but is married on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So stop with your taunting.
Somebody else says, I think it's Sean, he says, Fargo is the best series ever made. All the seasons are great.
It's so good. Season 2 is the best one. So is that what Sean was saying?
Yeah, season 2
is also the best. Season 2. Yeah. All of them are good. Season 2 is unbelievable. And they just launched the first two episodes because it's not on South African Netflix because I believe Showmax have got the exclusive rights for a while. But worldwide, they've just released episodes 1 and 2 of the new series. And I stand to be corrected, but I think it stars David Chappelle or Chris Rock, some famous American black comedian who has no business being a Fargo what are you, like a northerner. But yeah, I can't wait. But I'm also super tempted to watch it week by week. I got to tell you guys, one of the best shows, one of the most uplifting and feel-good shows that I've seen in ages is Ted Lasso. And it's coming out weekly on Apple TV, but they've only got like two episodes left. So if you download it now.
Ted Lasso,
yeah.
What's that about?
It's actually based on some skits that were done many years ago where American comedian, I always forget his name, I'm just looking it up now. This dude, Jason Sudeikis. Jason Sudeikis did a bunch of skits years ago, sponsored by whoever were the kit sponsor of Tottenham Hotspur, where he played an American football coach that were taking over coaching Spurs, but didn't know anything about soccer. And they were some of the earliest funny viral clips. But now years later, like 7, 8 years later, they've made it a TV show where he's an American football coach that gets brought on to coach a struggling Premier League team. So it's like an English comedy with this very American main character and his stoic assistant coach. It's such a fun show. And it's on Apple TV. So you can watch it there or you can download it, but that's also coming out weekly. The Boys is coming out weekly and so is Raised by Wolves. Although there's only one episode left of that to come out. But I wish in all cases that I'd waited for it to be, because watching an episode and then you have to wait a whole weekend, there's no way to find out what happened. It brings back a feeling from your childhood, but it's not a good feeling.
But I'm sorry. I feel like haven't we moved past the once a week thing?
But it's back. That's the point, is that it's a new thing. It's becoming more and more popular. I don't want to wait. To find out what can happen.
Hey,
will we be eaten by bears or will we live? I don't want to wait to find out if there's goodness. Will your wife walk in or will she leave?
Oh, God, you haven't disappointed me, because I have to admit I was a little disappointed earlier when there were so many mentions of, you know, every generation, bloody, bloody, bloody. And I was like, come on, God, Mike and the Mechanics.
Oh, did you give me a Mike and the Mechanics in and I missed it?
Every generation blames the one before.
I'm so sorry. I mean, I just sometimes you're not always on your game. I can't believe I missed a golden gift like that.
You've redeemed yourself now. Thank you very much. Got to do some.
Must suck to be one of the mechanics. Like I went and met Mike and the Mechanics about 10 years ago when they came to SA. And I only realized in retrospect how much of an insult this was, because I genuinely meant it as a compliment. I was like, my dad loves your music. Please will you sign a CD?
That's hilarious.
For him?
That's terrible.
Yeah. But Jesus. I did it. And I met Mike Rutherford and I was like, these other acts are literally the Mechanics. I mean, I know now that they're like members of Genesis or some shit.
They were very impressive.
But it's got to suck if you're like, okay, guys, I've got a really, really good name for the band, Gord and the Mechanics.
That's hilarious. Here's some more food discussion coming in. This is from Carl.
Have we started a rift among the listeners about burgers?
Yeah. Carl says a Burger King quad stacker burger is just patties and cheese.
That's liquid radioactive American cheese. It's so good, but so bad. It's so good, bad. It's the best, worst thing in the world.
All right. Very good. And then morning, guys. Breaking Bad is the best series ever, hands down, Dipiwe.
Solid contender. Yeah. My favorite ever, not to say that I expect it to be everyone's best, but my favorite ever is Fringe. It's about 10 years old and it's a sort of science fiction thing. And I really do rate Breaking Bad also. But The Expanse and Fringe are my favorite shows ever.
People are horrified that I still haven't watched Breaking Bad.
Dude, you really should watch it just because it's that good.
I know.
Watch 3 episodes and you'll be unable to not watch the rest.
Yeah. Right. That's my fault, and I'm not even going to make excuses.
Just make it the next series you line up in your list of things to get to.
It's pure laziness.
Back to Amazon Prime, I'm not a shill for them. I'm not getting kickbacks. But also, there's a brilliant show on there with Giovanni Ribisi where he's a con man who starts becoming attached to his mark, basically, called Sneaky Pete. It is excellent. And then there's another one with Billy Bob Thornton playing like a lawyer who fell from grace, who stands up for the little guy called Goliath. And Goliath and Sneaky Pete, plus a thing with Robert De Niro where these guys hunt Nazis. It's called Hunters. It's super good. And The Boys.
All right. Well, it's very interesting that this morning, obviously, we're looking at a day in Joburg where there's going to be cloudy weather and maybe a little bit of a thunderstorm later. That's what I thought anyway. And I hate ending on weather, but it is important that the National Weather Service issued a weather advisory for Johannesburg that there's going to be a severe thunderstorm this afternoon.
Yeah, we got that last night. My guest actually left early because there was a hail warning, like from insurance. Mm. Get your car out of hail range or whatever now. Right. And so, like, well, she was going to leave anyway, but she's like, yeah, I better go. There's going to be an apocalyptic storm. I brought my laundry inside, and I was like, well, this is anticlimactic.
Apparently it's today. That's what's all happening.
It was for today.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Very, very good. We've got lots of other stuff to get into. I'll hopefully get a chance to watch the presidential debate at some point today, and then we can compare notes tomorrow. But let me know what you think. If you are going to watch it, it's still a trending topic, not just in the world, but on South Africa's list of trends. So there's some interesting stuff happening.
Depending on your view on it, either fortunately or unfortunately, if you exist on social media for the next few days, you're not going to have a choice but to catch the highlights.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And there are going to be all the sorts of discussions where people are extremely polarized. And you know,
and people who don't know anything about politics, especially politics from a country they're not in, are more concerned about this than they are concerned with the well-being of their family.
Correct, which is so weird. Like, if you've got a member,
get a real problem. Yeah. Today on GOP, get a real problem.
Yeah.
In a country where you can't vote and are not directly affected by the economic implications. If that's your biggest problem today, get a real problem.
Yeah. If you're sitting there and you don't have a job, or someone in your family's like got only a couple of weeks to live. Yeah. Are you really going to give a fuck whether it's Biden or Trump?
Look, I also don't like those people who are like, oh, really? You're all upset because a newsroom in France got massacred, but there's stolen girls in Nigeria. Yeah. How dare you be upset about one thing or the other? I believe people can have multiple problems.
Yeah, of course.
So by all means, the presidency of the most powerful nation in the world matters to everyone.
Sure.
But please don't treat it like life and death. And please don't hate a nice person that you might be friends with in real life because they post something about this that you don't agree with. Just ignore it. Just really fucking have your say if you have to, and then let be.
Yeah, because you're not going to change a damn thing.
You're not going to change shit, and it doesn't affect you anyway. The difference, I mean, if the wrong president does nuclear war and ends it for all of us, then sure, it affects all of us. But for the most part, these economic platforms and shit are going to make no difference to you anyway.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Thanks, everybody. Nice to have you on.
Love you,
Gordo, as always. And we will catch up in a week's time with Gord. And tomorrow on 6 a.m. bright and early, Bulelo can be back to defend himself. So stick around for that. And obviously everything else you need on cliffcentral.com. Make sure you catch up with So What Now tonight on ENCA. That's channel 403 at 8:30. We've got a really cool panel of guests. We're talking about mental health. And I think this is such an underrated subject. We've got a professor of psychiatry. We've got Justin Cohen. We've got who else is on this here? Timothy Maurice Webster. What a guy. Well known to our cliffcentral.com audience. And we talk about the aspects of COVID and the lockdown that have affected people mentally. And I think there are many more of us that have maybe developed either a little bit of Stockholm syndrome. We feel a bit trapped in our own houses. Or with the kind of people who think that this is a non-issue, where it really has affected many millions of people. Or it's the only issue. And none of those positions are necessarily correct. So get into the show with us this evening and let us know what you think on social media, hashtag SoWhatNow. All right. We'll catch you tomorrow. Be good.
Love you all.
Awesome.
Peace. CliffCentral.com.